The following program, the Rewind Sports 60, is sponsored by Jerry Riles and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Riles. It's the freshest radio show in town. Feeling marvelous, I've been with Jerry Riles. WCPT. WCPT.
This the coldest sports show. You would get in the hour. Let's from go, 6 p.m. to 7. Chilling with Lou on Cox. Marvelous. Shout out to Mr. Rouse and the Italian style. You
yeah.
The only politics.
Hey, WCPT. Hey, start here. Hey, man, who's doing this?
Hey, just say 17th letter. Don't say 17th letter.
17th letter.
Yes, sir.
8:30 a.m. Come on, y'all. Mr. Fresh is ready, y'all. Show in town. Feeling marvelous.
I've been with Jerry Rouse.
Marvelous! Yeah. Fresh is ready, yo, so in town.
Yeah!
Feeling so marvelous. I've been with Jerry Rouse.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. We're streaming live on Facebook broadcasting from the world's greatest studios of WCPT 820 AM in the beautiful, beautiful city of Chicago, in the fabulous neighborhood of Jefferson Park on the city's north side. This is another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. It's your Bears. Bears.
Stall him out, Jerry. We got a whole quarter now.
Hey, we're still pulling for the Bears. If you are watching the Bear games, do exactly what we're doing here in the studios of WCPT 820 AM. Turn the volume down on your television monitor, your big screen, your smart TV, whatever the case may be. Turn the volume down. Crank us up on WCPT 820 AM. Or, of course, if you're watching us live streaming on Facebook, make sure you keep the volume up. It's the fastest hour in sports conversation, ladies and gentlemen. The fastest hour in sports conversation. Yours truly, Jerry Riles, and joined by, ladies and gentlemen, you love him. He's not over at Wrigley checking out the Cubs. He's not over at, it's Guarantee Rayfield, right?
Yeah.
He's not over at Guarantee Rayfield checking out the soon to be called the World Series Chicago, World Series champion Chicago White Sox. No, he's not over there. He's not over at the, DePaul play? What did they play?
Wintrust
Arena. He's not over at the Wintrust Arena, ladies and gentlemen. He's not at the United Center checking out the Bulls. And good job by the Bulls and Billy Donovan for what they're doing. Oh, the Chicago Blackhawks. Hey. Corey Crawford, the Crow, thank you for all the memories. Ladies and gentlemen, you love him. He's known as the Marvelous One. He's in studio. He's Dan Marver, the Marvelous One. What's up,
Jerry?
Marver? How are you?
Thank you. Well, the Bears are going to do it here in the fourth quarter. They've had zero third, eight tries. They haven't gotten the first down on third down, so they're due now. They're due. It's 14-3, but you guys can turn off the game. You can listen to us. And,
turn off the game.
Hey, Marvelous, I think yes, anybody listening to, I think anybody listening to the broadcast, I think anybody listening, I think they had a better opportunity of winning the lotto. What was it, like $450 million? I think they have a better chance of hitting the lotto than the Bears do of getting the first down on third down. Yep. What are they, 0 for 8?
0 for 8 thus far.
Unbelievable. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you loved him. He's suited up for both these teams, the New Orleans Saints and, of course, the Chicago Bears. I thought you didn't
play for no Saints.
I thought you had a cup of coffee with the New Orleans Saints before you came over to the Chicago Bears. Whatever the case may be, ladies and gentlemen, he's in studio. He's known as the 17th letter of the alphabet. We love him, ladies and gentlemen. The one. He's the only. He's Quentin Dimps. What's up, D? How are you, brother?
My, let's go, Mitchell.
Oh, wait a minute, man.
Come on, Trubisky.
Wait a minute.
Come back, baby. We need
you. Wait a minute. What?
Hey, the game ain't over yet. Come on. I got hope for Bears, man.
Bear fans have hope as well. We are early part of the fourth quarter of action. The New Orleans Saints are leading our Chicago Bears by a score of 14-3. In the wild card game played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium down in, I love this place, New Orleans, or as the natives call it, Nolens. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bears are hanging in there, kind of. hanging. But the one thing I wanted to get to, if you guys want to join us, our phone number here is 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. It's the fastest hour in sports conversation. We want to say hello to the beautiful, talented, lovely Lauren Cox, who's under the weather, and hopefully she'll be feeling a lot better, but we definitely miss her and love to have her back in studio very, very soon. Happy New Year's to all of you beautiful people out there. Wow, what a way to kick off the 2021 year. But we want to say Happy New Year to all of you out there, and to be safe, continue to practice the three W's. That, of course, Marvelous.
Yes.
Wash your hands. Wear your mask. And watch your distance. Do it. COVID is still real, man. It's still real. But we got some other things going on. Hopefully, we'll get an opportunity to talk about the state of the United States and, of course, what's going on around this beautiful country that we call America. We'll also get an opportunity to talk to not only Quentin Demps, who's in studio, former Chicago Bear, laced him up, played it on the lakefront, and he is a Mitchell Trubisky backer, and he's going to convince me, how I could become one, too. I still scratch my hair regarding that, but Quentin Demps in studio. He's going to help break down this game. Oh. But also,
it was an article in the paper yesterday. They talked about how Trubisky was looking at Breeze's career as a roadmap.
You need to be looking at somebody's career instead of his. But we're also going to be joined by number 51, former Chicago Bear outside linebacker Bruce Herron. He'll be joining us shortly to help break down this game, our Bear analyst. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, number 55, double nickel, Mama Boy Otis Wilson will be joining us again for a second straight week to break down the Chicago Bears game and, of course, this season and what happened during the offseason. But Q.
Yo.
Brother.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Talk to me.
You still believe that this team have an opportunity, that team being the Chicago Bears, still have an opportunity to somehow, some way, claw themselves back into this thing?
11 minutes?
It's about 10 minutes left. Yeah.
right.
Approaching 10-minute mark.
They're at the Chicago 5 right now.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
This is playoffs. I forgot.
You say it's a wrap?
Yeah, it's a wrap.
The one thing I got to say, bro, and we do appreciate your insight and your knowledge and everything that you bring to the table as far as the Rewind Sports 60 is concerned. But what I love about this weekend, man, the Super Wild Card weekend.
Yeah.
The trifecta on Saturday, the trifecta today,
yeah.
And, of course, the cherry on top.
Tomorrow.
The Ohio State Buckeyes going up against Bama.
Roll Tide.
Oh, those, hey, man, those are my fighting words, man. Hey, man. Hey, them are my fighting words, bro. Hey, man. Hey, them fighting words, bro. Hey. I thought this Bears-Saints game was going to be a dogfight defense on defense.
It was for a while.
Well, you know, just
it was 7-3 for a long time.
Yeah, but was that more of a defensive battle or the fact that the offenses just couldn't get on track?
What are you saying?
I'm asking you.
Why don't offenses get on track?
Well,
because of good defense.
Well, I can tell. Wait. Hang on now. I can tell you why offense can't get on track, cause especially for the Bears, because the signal caller isn't.
Let's go, Mitch.
Marvelous. Was it more of a defensive battle, or is the fact that the offense just didn't get going?
It was a defensive battle. We got our one field goal because of defense.
Well, there are a lot of holes in this game, and we're going to try to talk as much as we can about it. Obviously, the game is still in progress, so we can't really divulge too much into it. But all in all, Q, of course, you know, playing at the highest level and watching both teams, how important is this game for the simple fact that the Bears backed into the playoffs?
Yeah.
8-8 record. How big or how important is it for them to be in this playoff game, win or lose?
I mean, just when you look over the season for them, man, it's very important. Like you said, like they barely got in. You know what I'm saying? So this game really is just like kind of, it's not just for the present, but it's for the future too. Even for the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So it's very important for the whole team in general, even the front office to the coaches.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
They came out with good energy. You know what I mean? I just defense can't win the whole thing all the time.
I mean, they were missing Smith. That didn't help. You know,
yeah, Roquan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true too.
Roquan Smith was out.
Yeah, he was out too.
Yeah.
Missed opportunities, man. They dropped the pass in the touchdown, in the end zone, so.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you know, just bad football, really.
Yeah, that's what I was trying bad to tell football. You. It wasn't a defensive struggle; it was a bad. It's just, and that's the one thing that I want to ask you about, as far as you know, this being a playoff game for the Bears, and we know how important it was for them to get to postseason play. But what I was disappointed with was the preparation. And when I say preparation, I mean the mental preparation, because of the penalties that the Bears sustained in this game.
Yeah.
One of them with, and I understand because it was a rookie mistake, but Kmet, Cole Kmet, he got into it with Malcolm Jenkins. And he was called for a personal foul, 15-yard penalty, to push the Bears back. And Malcolm Jenkins, as you know, being a veteran.
Being a veteran.
He going at the young buck, and the young buck bit the bait, and he threw the ball in the direction of Malcolm Jenkins to give it to the official. The officials interpreted that as retaliation, and, of course, he got flagged for a 15-yard penalty. We see what happened with Miller, the wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, who got disqualified. We've seen the unsportsmanlike penalties that the Bears sustained. We've seen the offside penalties that the Bears have gotten, you know, encroachment. To me, that's a lack of discipline and preparation for this big, important game. Mm-hmm. And I point the finger at the coaching staff. And you know, I even asked my wife the question, not to say that she's, you know, she knows the game of sports, she knows the game of football. But I said, I go, this is a reflection of the coaches not preparing this team this week for this game, how important it is. And for them to be making these stupid mistakes, getting these stupid penalties, I thought it was a reflection on the coaches not preparing them. And she said, no, by the time they get to this level of the season, they should have enough discipline themselves to discipline themselves.
That's a good point.
Your point. What do you think of it?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's like, you know, it's a makeup of the team. It's a makeup of the season, you know. And then it also goes back, like, to the players, like maturity. Like you said, like Malcolm Jenkins is a vet. You know what
right.
I mean? So he probably set the whole thing up. You know what I mean? So you got to be mature as a player, too, like, especially knowing how the magnitude of this game that you got to, you know, you got to keep composure. You know what I mean? So, but it does go back to the coaches, too. Like, you know what I mean? When it's just one player, it's different. But it was several today. So it's like, what are you doing during the week, coach? Like, what are you, you know, how are you implementing, like, you know, discipline to your team? So it reflects him, too.
Marver?
Yeah, well, that, obviously, it falls on the coaches, but I mean, the players do have individual responsibility too. I'm just already thinking about next year since their season's over after today. I'm not even really focusing on this year anymore. Sorry.
No, I mean,
it's 21-3 now.
Yeah, it is 21-3. And for those of you out there who were glass half full optimists as far as this Bears, I mean, there are a lot of fans out there who are listening to the broadcast who have been following us all season long. And the fact that the Bears were able to, you know, get past that six-game losing streak and put together, you know, a win streak, so to speak, and again, back into the playoffs, there are a lot of people that have felt that the Bears had new life and rebirth, and that they could actually stand toe-to-toe with the Saints and possibly beat them.
I wasn't
one of those individuals. Why did you think?
It's the NFL in any given Sunday.
Right.
You know, so I just had a little bit of hope that they would come out on fire, man, come out disciplined and play their best football. But it let us down. You know, let the city down. But
where do you think that they let us down? What area, from what you've been able to watch in this game, where did you think the Bears fell short?
Just competing. Like, it feel like competing, like, you know what I mean? Like catching the ball in the end zone. Like being eagle-eyed focused, man.
Wow.
This is a playoff game. Like, you gotta be focused more than ever right now. Like
right.
every step, every snap counts. Like, you know what I mean? So I just think that the focus was off, man. Like, in the, you know. So
now, I don't know if you saw this play, Marvelous, if you had an opportunity to see it, but the Bears were, it was the second possession, I think it was. But before I even get to that point, the first possession. The first possession, to me, set the tone for the game as far as the Bears was concerned.
Wow.
Mitchell Trubisky, on the third play of the first possession, nearly threw an interception. It was, I can't remember who the corner was or the defender was that got a hand on the ball, wasn't able to corral it in. And, of course, the Bears ended up punting the football.
Yeah.
But to me, that was a telltale sign right then and there that on the third play of the Bears' first possession that this kid almost threw an interception.
He spooked.
What does that do for a team?
Spooked. I mean, it doesn't do too much because, you know, it doesn't mean too much to a game, to a veteran team. Like, would you consider the Bears a young team?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just depends on, like, the makeup of the team. Like, I mean, like, you know, most teams would be, like, glad that he didn't pick it off, but... And be able to shake it off and come back and play football.
Right,
but like, you know,
right.
I don't think that means too much. I can see what you're saying, like the momentum of the game and how it might go. But
with a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, who's been struggling and trying to find
for
himself.
Him personally, though, it's definitely like put him in the tank. Like he probably got like, you know, all rattled. Like, ooh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could have been big.
And I think the other teams playing defense against Trubisky feel that he can't be successful beyond 10 yards.
No
honestly.
Question. No question.
And so the defense is stacked and against the run and against the short passes to the tight end and the Robinson. And that limits the options because when he goes deeper, it's he's not very accurate.
Right. No, that's a good point because like it brings me to the point like right now I see Trubisky as a fan. Right, but if I'm on defense right now, Trubisky is hot garbage. But because I'm a fan, I'm like, you know, I'm pulling for him. I want him to be better. But like, you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
put your helmet on and you playing against him.
We blitzing that boy, man. He not ready.
Why? Why do you say that?
He's rattled. You can tell he's not confident.
Mm-hmm.
He's not confident.
Even in his fourth season playing for the Bears in the National
he's
Football,
he's not comfortable. Like it seems like he's not as comfortable as you should be. Like swaggy. Like I mean, like where's your swag at? Like
right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
like Josh Allen with the Buffalo
Josh
Bills.
Josh Allen, that boy, man. Josh Allen, that boy, man. Hey, I'm on the Bills bandwagon. I tell you that.
I am too. And congratulations to him. But listen, I'm not a big fan of this guy's.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
With the Cleveland Browns.
He's swaggy.
But congratulations to him for making. But yeah, I mean, that's
the difference. That's the difference right there, right?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And here's the big difference. These guys, they cut their teeth on the collegiate level.
Yeah.
You know, they got their brains beat in. They had success. They'd learned how to play the game of football at the highest level before they got to the highest level.
Yep.
So when they come in here, they're like, hey, we ready to rock.
He belong.
Did you see Lamar Jackson today?
He belong.
Get the hell out of here, man. Dude.
He locked in.
I've never, the only other person I've seen run like that in the National Football League.
Michael Vick.
Congratulations to him because that was his goal for the Baltimore Ravens and for himself to get a victory, a playoff victory.
Yep.
And he finally got it. And he put the team on his back. And what was a 47-yard run, a 51-yard run, whatever the case may be, I think a 47-yard scamper touchdown.
He was rolling, too.
Dude, it was unbelievable. It was like everybody else was running in real time. He was running in fast speed motion. It's like they sped the tape up for him. It was unbelievable. So that's the type of quarterback that we are hoping for here in Chicago. And then when you turn on, and no offense to Mitchell Trubisky.
No offense at all.
None at all. But when you see him, you can just see. I mean, with the naked eye, you can see and go, this guy is just not there.
Yeah.
You're going to have the Ravens against the Chiefs probably next week, Mahomes and Jackson.
Oh, my God.
It's going to make you salivate over the possibilities of having a guy like that.
The question I want to ask you before we go to the phones and Bruce Herring, number 51 in the program, number one in our hearts is on our TR60 hotline, chomping at the bit to get in here. I wanted to ask you about the decision as far as Matt Nagy was concerned when the Bears had an opportunity to get on the board. And, of course, you know playing in the National Football League, especially in the playoffs, you don't leave points on the field.
Don't do it.
Matt Nagy chose to go for it on 4th-and-3, I think it was. He had Mitchell Trubisky run a play to the right, roll out, bootleg or some sort, and he was knocked out 1 yard shy of gaining the first down. Speculation was, why didn't you give Cairo Santos an opportunity to kick, I believe, a 51-yard field goal indoors at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And his home field. He played at Tulane.
Exactly. Yeah. At least the opportunity to get 3 points and get on the board.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, the Bears did not get any points.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the decision for Matt Nagy to try to go for it?
So to me, that hurts the morale of the team. Like, it's like, man, you don't have confidence in your kicker at his home stadium, what he's used to try to get us on a point. I mean, to get us on a board. Like, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's like it's too early to be making bad coaching decisions. Like, if he misses it, at least we tried to get some points versus, like.
I think it's also admitting that there may not be that many opportunities to get a touchdown. I mean, in my mind.
Yeah, he wants to. Yeah, that's true, too. He didn't have any confidence in the offense, too.
Right.
I can see it like that, too.
Yeah, but as a player, you can sense that, correct?
Yeah, we're mad. Especially as a defense. We're like, man, try to field goal. What are you doing? Like, man, we need points, man. This is the playoffs, man. This ain't no go back next week, we're going to regroup. Like, we're going home if we lose.
And that's the confusing thing, because, I mean, you learned that in Pop Warner football, that, hey, man, you don't leave any points on the floor, on the field.
Yeah.
And that was a perfect example. So those two plays that I described, Mitch Trubisky nearly throwing an interception on the third play of the Bears' first offensive possession, and then the coach himself not trusting his kicker to try to kick a 51-yard field goal indoors on the road in the first playoff games. Those are telltale signs that shows a reflection of what we are experiencing right now as far as this Bear game against the New Orleans Saints is concerned. The Bears are trailing big and on their way out. Let's go to the phone lines before we go out to our esteemed guest, Bruce Heron, on our Terra 60 hotline. Tommy's calling from Chicago. Tommy, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you guys, man, for last year. And this insanity in which we're watching, it's pretty clear that basically Chicago, when they lost in Green Bay the season, they should have went home, period. I mean, I have never seen anything as dismal or disappointing or discouraging, especially to the legacy of Bruce and all of these guys who made this franchise what it is. All of those characters need to be fired. And you watch what I'm saying, guys, as I close. Trubisky is going to leave Chicago, and somebody is going to take this young man and play him to what he actually knows how to do, and then you're going to be saying, why didn't he do that in Chicago? And the reason is, just like that madness up there in the White House, man, it's absolutely insanity. Goodbye.
Thanks, man. Tommy,
thank you,
we appreciate
Tommy.
Your
thank you,
phone
Tommy.
Call.
Thank you.
I disagree with Tommy that Mitchell Trubisky is going to find a new home, and then suddenly the sky is going to open up for him, because we just gave you example of two quarterbacks who are in the league right now that are showing their ass, and they're showing leadership qualities.
Yeah, for sure.
And you just described Mitchell Trubisky, he still looks somewhat like a deer in headlights.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
You know, so who said it? I think Stephen A. Smith earlier this week, listening to his show, he said that Mitchell Trubisky can play in the NFL, but he's not a starter in the NFL.
I told you that too, a long time ago.
Yep.
He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, you
for
did.
Sure.
You exactly did say that. Let's go out to our Tier 60 hotline. Ladies and gentlemen, you love him. Number 51 on the program, number one in their hearts. He has been breaking down Bears all season long. And, of course, we're looking forward to hearing his breakdown of this playoff game between the New Orleans Saints and our beloved Chicago Bears. He's on the Tier 60 hotline. He's the one. He's the only. Number 51, Bruce Heron. Bruce, how are
Bruce.
You, man?
I'm doing good. I want to let you know something, Jerry.
That, yes, sir.
I've got a Chicago Bear Pro Bowl player, number 55, Otis Wilson, on the phone with us, too.
There he is. Big O, what's up, man? How
what up,
are
Big
you?
O, what up, Big O?
I'm
Big
doing
Otis.
Fine, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hey, man, if I had any hair, I'd be pulling it out. This team, week in and week out, for 18 weeks, been driving me nuts, man.
Well, let me say this. I mean, you know, they limped into the playoffs because I really don't believe they're a playoff caliber football team. But in listening to you guys left out one of the biggest points, you know, points that mean something. You're playing against Drew Brees, who has a complete offense. Now they got a little staggered, and now they started moving the second half. And they have a good defense. They know what the Bears are doing, and they've taken a lot of stuff away. The Bears had an opportunity to tie the game up when homeboy Stevie Wonder dropped the ball.
Yeah, we mentioned that. I mentioned that, Big O. You ain't been listening, Big O.
That's cold blooded, though.
We mentioned that.
Hey, don't do that. Hey, Otis.
Here we go again.
Don't do that. Don't do that to Stevie Wonder. Don't do that to Stevie Wonder. Don't do that to him.
What do you think is going to happen? Mr. Trubisky is not going to beat the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are going to beat themselves.
Right.
And they're not doing it. And they playing good football, possession type football. They're not throwing the ball 20 yards down the field. They're getting open. They exposing the linebackers left and right, and they're running the football. So, again, the Bears limped in there, and they're going to limp on out.
Yeah, and you know what? And we're on with Otis Wilson and, of course, Bruce Heron, two former linebackers for the beloved Chicago Bears. And, of course, in studio, he played with the beloved as well, Quentin Demps. I want to ask you this question because I knew. I mean, no, Bruce, seriously, I knew that the Bears didn't have a chance against the New Orleans Saints. I simply knew they didn't have a chance because they just don't have the firepower that the Saints bring to the table. But some fans believe that the Bears could stay with the Saints. Was that a realistic approach, in your opinion, that if the Bears played a perfect game, that they could be in the game?
You know, the Bears are missing offensively. They're missing Mooney. Mooney brings a lot to that offense. Okay. And then they go and Miller gets ejected from the game.
Yep.
Now they've got just basically all their speed is gone. All their speed is gone. But you know what? Besides that, you know, the Bears are just they are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're an average team. With some great talent in spots,
right?
But in terms of having a great caliber football team that can push the ball down the field and can play rock solid defense, they don't match up with the Saints. Just don't match up with them, man.
They had a chance.
They could have made a statement early on, but you know what? You cannot drop touchdown passes and hang with a team like the Saints.
Not at all.
Period.
Yeah, Bruce, this is Dan. Do you think it's due to personnel? I mean, that they're missing people? What do they need to do? I'm already into next season because this season's over. What do they need to do to get better?
That's a good question.
They actually need to get some talent, man. I mean, they need some more speed on offense. I mean, like we've been saying all season. I mean, you look at the teams like Baltimore and you look at Steelers and Kansas City and these teams that are consistently winning. Man, they've got speed, man. I mean, they've got speed. They've got speed on the defense. They've got speed at wide out. They've got speed in the backfield.
One or two guys,
and that's it.
I hear you, man, but we all know what they need. They need a quarterback with some swag, man. A quarterback with some confidence, man.
He's going to
change the whole atmosphere. Change the whole atmosphere, man. He's coming there with some swag, confidence, and, like, you know what I mean, being a leader. It'll change the whole team, man. It'll change the whole morale.
Absolutely.
When your quarterback looking droopy all the time and looking
doesn't grow a little silly mustache.
Yeah.
You got a question to the coaching staff, too.
Well,
you know what, Otis, you bring up a great point because I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear before you guys got on, but we were kind of stumped and questioning Matt Nagy's decision to go for it on 4th-and-3, I believe it was, as opposed to attempt a 51-yard field goal indoors with Cairo Santos, who's been near perfect, 27 straight field goals. We were kind of puzzled with that decision.
I don't think it was a bad call because it was a boot play-action kind of play, which Mitch is pretty good at.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, the tight end went in motion. The guy covered him and took that away, and he got pressure. They got pressure on him, and he tried to get whatever he can get. So you got to credit that defense.
Yeah, you do.
For doing that.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, you can't just simply say that was Nagy's fault or that was Trubisky's fault. You play good defense. That's what you call watching your film,
mm-hmm.
knowing your personnel,
mm-hmm.
going across the ocean, staying with that tight end, and somebody got to get upfield. Don't go for the inside because he's coming outside, and they played it perfect.
Well, go ahead, Bruce.
Let me say this. You know why they played it perfectly? Because they study
film.
Game film. They know in certain situations. They run a bootleg. They know what Mitch likes to do.
Yeah.
They know what he likes to do. And there's only one play he could make, and that was to the tight end. They took that away.
Yeah. So this is why it's an important question, and it left a lot of fans scratching their heads for the simple fact that the Bears have not made a field goal 50 yards or more in the playoffs in the history of the franchise. So now you got a guy who's made 27 straight field goals. It's a do-or-die situation. You're playing against the great Drew Brees. You don't leave points. You don't leave them on the field. Some fans are thinking you got to make an attempt to show your team that you have confidence in them, the kicker that you have confidence in them, and give them a shot to do it. And that's what some fans are questioning right now.
I agree with that. 100%.
Well, they're playing against a complete football team that's defensively playing well, offensively playing well. We don't have the players.
Oh my goodness gracious!
And you look at this tackling out there. The tackling is atrocious.
They ready to go home. They ready to go home right now. Yeah, you can't judge them right now, man. They're trying to stay healthy right now.
Football,
go ahead, Otis.
You got to play football. When you get in the playoffs, you have to up your tempo. You have to up your level. You have to up your concentration.
The concentration.
And you have to be dominant.
Yep, that
you
concentration is everything.
You get out there and impose your will on somebody. And they don't have those kind of players.
So, Bruce,
they're relying on Mack, Khalil Mack on one side, and they bumping him and keeping that tackle on him. Nobody else is coming out from the other side. The linebackers are not blitzing. You know, you got to get personnel. That's what it's all about, personnel. And they got to have an attitude and want to win.
On the other hand, along with that, Otis, your defense and your offense, your players take on the personality of the coach.
Yep.
If you got a coach that comes in, he says, guys, we need to, you know, if we just do this and we just do that, we can do this and we can do that, you know. But you know what? You just got to put an effort into it. Or you get a coach that says, look, damn it, you know what? Our backs are to the wall. I need playmakers. I need effort. I need concentration. I need it now.
You won't be here Monday morning.
It goes on all week in preparation for the game. It goes on all week. You just don't wait till the day of the game to start that talk about concentration and effort and all that. It goes on all week.
So
when you walk into the stadium with your suitcase, and go and walk into the stadium and go to the locker room. I mean, guys are already, they already know what's happening. They already know. They've got to be jacked up.
So
gotta be ready to play.
So the million-dollar question is, and we're on with the great Bruce Herron, former outside linebacker for the Chicago Bears. Otis Wilson, mama boy, on our TR60 hotline with the world champion Chicago Bears, Super Bowl champs, and, of course, my main man, I love this guy, the 17th letter of the alphabet, Quentin Dempsey, studio, played with the beloved as well. The million-dollar question is, why did the Bears have so many penalties, stupid penalties, and Miller is disqualified, kicked out of the game because of lack of discipline? If you talk about preparation all week long for the playoffs and concentration and focus, why were the Bears, even the young rookie we talked about, Cole Kmet, who got jocked by Malcolm Jenkins with a 15-yarder, why are the Bears showing lack of discipline as far as their mental approach to this game with all these penalties if they come into this game prepared, having done it all week long at practice?
That's the key. You just said it right there. When you come in the game, you have to be prepared. You have to be mentally focused and use your athletic ability, and that's what they're not doing. You can't make mistakes like that and expect to win on that level and not against a team like New Orleans.
Yeah. It's got to mean more to you, especially when the playoffs come around. Like, you got to put your pride aside if you get put in that kind of situation.
It's do or die. Yeah. It's do or die. There ain't no second. Well, we got another game.
Right.
You go home.
Yeah, so.
Well, the interesting thing is we know the Bears are certainly going to be going home. And, of course, everybody's going to be reevaluating this season. Now, Otis, Bruce, Q, again, you guys played at the highest level, and you were in that exiting.
Oh, man, that was no touchdown.
You were Bruce,
man,
in real time.
Touchdown, so they can go home, man.
Yeah, let the clock run, Bruce. Let the clock run.
Hey, but I got the buses running right now.
Hey, man. Hey, yo, I'm kind of lost. Where is Nick Foles at? Is he done for the year?
It's over.
No, but like, did he get hurt, or Mitchell like playing well put him down?
No, that wasn't a touchdown. No.
Turn out the lights.
Watching the game, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
We can't see the game here, fellas.
No, it's okay.
He's on the sidelines, number nine. No. I mean, he's there.
I'm waving to Drew Brees, and I'm waving to the Bears goodbye. So this week we got a lot of exit interviews for the season. So gentlemen, the floor is yours. If you're George McCaskey, and even I mean Ryan Pace. You got to do some talking and reevaluate and go over this past season. What's your conversation with George McCaskey, with Ryan Pace, and Matt Nagy based on what this season unfolded and showed us. The floor is open.
That'd be a short conversation for me. I think both of them will be seriously evaluated, and then I would pull the trigger and get something else there. You can't give somebody 4 or 5 years. This man been here. We had a great defense 3 years ago when they played against Philadelphia. Didn't have a decent offense, didn't have much, but they were okay. Defense kept them in the game. They played against a mediocre schedule, and they got through it. These next 2 years, they played some good teams, and they couldn't do it. So that's telling me what you're evaluating and putting out there on the field, and keep telling me every week we working hard and we confident and we this and that. Come on, I'm tired of hearing that same old game. Man, you can tell a drunk that. You can't tell me that.
Hey, Otis, I echo your sentiments because, you know, the one thing that has been bugging me about Matt Nagy is the fact that every week, especially during that 6-game losing streak, he will come and address the media and the fan base and say, hey, nobody's giving up in this locker room. We all rally around each other. We got each other's back. Are we just going to play hard? And we're going to study film. And I got to the point to say, hey, listen, dude, cliches don't win you football games. Mm. Cliches cannot win you football games. And you can sit, like you said, you can sell a bill of goods to a drunk on Michigan Avenue, but you can't sell it to the Chicago fan base, who, of course, we watched the best of the best when we watched that 85 Super Bowl team defensively destroy opponents and, of course, offensively manage to get us a Super Bowl title. So for me to hear this guy continuously, week in and week out for 17 weeks, continue to tell us this BS about, oh, we're playing together and we got each other's backs and we're not going to let any... I don't want to hear that BS, because the reflection is your schedule and the damn record doesn't indicate that you have each other's back and that you're playing together. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, in the real world, as far as Halas Hall is concerned, everything you said should happen this week. But just like the 6-game losing streak, we call for some firings, and not the janitor or the water boy or the guy mopping up in the bathroom, but it didn't happen. We've seen teams all across the league, 7 teams, I think, to be exact, that called for firings and got firings, whether it's a GM or a coach. The Bears stood pat. So in the real world, as far as Halas Hall is concerned, why should we believe they're going to make a move once this thing is all said and done? The floor is open.
They won't.
How much weight do we give?
Well,
COVID?
Bruce, you guys that have been there on this level know the simple facts. The coaches do what they do during the week to prepare you.
Okay.
Once you get on that bus on Saturday and go wherever you're going and get on that field on Sunday, it's all up to you. And you got 11 guys on offense and 11 guys on defense. It's got to make a stand. We don't have that here in Chicago.
Yo, how much weight are we giving?
Making a stand. You got 3 guys or 4 guys on offense making a stand. It's not a complete football.
Hey, how much? So, my bad. Go ahead, man.
No, I'm done. We can go round and round all we want to. We do not have the players, and Nagy ain't the answer.
So you saying George McCaskey should lower the boom, and are you saying should he clean house? Should he get rid of the quarterback? Should he get rid of the GM? Should he what should George McCaskey do this week?
Bruce, you might want to answer that, because if I tell the truth, man.
Bruce?
We'll lose our license.
He does not know nothing about football.
No.
He was on the sideline when Papa Bear Houses was coaching, playing catch. When you sit there and talk to them in depth about football, that man can't tell you nothing about football.
Right.
That's like, well, I'm going to leave it alone, because I might say something I don't want
to
say.
You don't need to say it. You don't need to say nothing.
Come on, man. Be unfiltered. Be unfiltered.
Well, I said it is. The McCaskey family are not football people. You got to get football minds, as that's going to evaluate you know, what they're dealing with. You can't say I'm going to win a Super Bowl with 6th, 7th, and 8th and 4th and 5th round draft picks. Mm. You got to sprinkle in some number one picks, and then you can get lucky with 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round draft picks. But you're not going to filter your whole team and put them out there, and they're going to be a dominant force in the NFL.
Unless you build Belichick
every now and then, but you can't build your team like that.
Yeah. Bruce, your thoughts.
See, Belichick didn't do so good without Brady.
That's true, too.
Bruce, what do you think?
Well, this is my thought process. You know what? The McCaskies know they are not football minds, and that's why it's so important that you go out and get the very best general manager to run the football operations that you can find, the very best you can find. And you know, I'm sure they thought that Ryan Pace was the guy. When they signed him, and you know what, we all thought they were. I mean, they got, you know, came in and hired Nagy. You know, the team won the division. They got in the playoffs, although they lost the first round of the playoffs. But since then, the team has regressed. It hasn't gotten any better the last 3 years. And you know what? And that's a telltale sign of your coaching, man. And you know, when you're not getting the best out of your coaching. You know, you're just when you're not getting the best out of your team, you know your coaching is not there, and the Bears are just not getting the best out of their players. And defensively, you know, our defense has been on the field damn near all night long,
mm-hmm.
all night long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have truly. So,
yeah, I mean, the offense comes in, man. I mean, how many first downs they had? I think they had 6 first downs in the game.
Yeah, zero.
And the second half. The Saints had the ball for 8 minutes, one quarter. They had the ball for 9 minutes,
six.
The other quarter. Or 6 minutes at least. So, I mean, they might as well have had it for 9.
Yeah.
In the third quarter, they had a drive of seven and a half minutes. In the fourth quarter, they had a drive of over 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, they've got a lot of evaluating to do. Come on. Go.
Well, you know, guys, they had 6 first downs, you're right, 0 of 9 on third downs. And I always, you know, the Bears aren't the only, as I mentioned before, team that have a family, you know, the Steelers and the Chiefs. But the thing is that, you know, look at Belichick. He's a great coach, but you have to have great talent. Brady's gone. Maybe he's not such a great coach anymore. So it's hard to really say if they don't have the talent.
That's a whole different topic right there.
Yeah, that is.
You're talking about, don't put Belichick in this
right. Right. Yeah.
When you go to the New England, you got 2 things to worry about.
Brady.
One, you got to play to your talent, and if you don't play, you gone.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It brings up 2 questions, along with Otis Wilson, Bruce Herron, and, of course, the 17th out of the alphabet, Quentin Demps, in studio, talking Bears football, Bears trailing the New Orleans Saints in the wild, wild, wild card game down in New Orleans at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So the rumor mill this week.
Come on, bitch. Come on. Come on.
The rumor mill this week was that Deshaun Watson for the Texans is not happy with management, GM, coaching, and he's possibly looking to be traded. I don't know how real that is. I don't know. The last I heard was that Miami was throwing their hat in the ring to possibly make a deal to swap quarterbacks, Tua to the Texans, sending Deshaun Watson down to the Dolphins. If this is something that's growing legs and becoming a real deal, should the Bears or would the Bears entertain the idea of correcting a wrong that they made in drafting Mitchell Trubisky by letting him go and trying to attract Deshaun Watson here to Chicago?
Yeah, you know what? I read that too.
And I'd be very surprised if they do something like that.
Yeah, the price is too high, man. They're talking about three first round draft picks and all that. Nah, yeah, that's too much. That's too much at this point. You know, they can't set the team back, the organization back that far, because they don't have the talent, the current talent, to bring Deshaun Watson in and make a major impact
right.
on the team.
Right, that's true. That's a good
Deshaun
point.
Deshaun Watson, believe me, Deshaun Watson is day and night better than Trubisky is right now. But in order to get him, in order to get Deshaun, you've got to give up that much. Nah, it's too much, man.
Yeah,
too much.
I agree.
But again, Otis, do you trust a guy in Ryan Pace, the general manager, to make the right move, the right decision, the right draft picks?
No.
Mm.
No.
Well, let me say this. I said from day one, when he first came to Chicago, you got a 37-year-old guy, you know, making evaluation, making picks. I didn't think he was old enough and been around long enough to make wise decisions. So I don't know why they brought him here.
You can't bring age into it, big guy. That's just a number, man.
Man, hey. You got to understand, when he was sitting in that room, he was not making the final decision. Yes, you do bring age into it.
What about the coach? What about the coach with the Rams?
You teach somebody, and he's a part of a system. Now, all of a sudden, he done got a name, and he gets pulled out of that. He don't have that support system he had before. So now he's got to be the one. Now he's making a decision, and you see the fruits of our labor, which is nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's too, it's
and
too.
And that's the thing. Here's the reason he said you have to factor in age, because experience is the best teacher. Okay, but
no, it is.
Experience is the best teacher. No, it's the best teacher, hands down. No, it's the best teacher. Hey, brother, when you get to be our age, you'll see the wisdom that comes out.
Let me tell you the best teacher.
I mean,
learning from somebody else's experiences.
But that's a part of experience.
How?
It's a part of, because you're learning
right
from your experience plus the experience that. But, so I'm learning right now.
Hey, Gary, the Bears just scored a touchdown. Can you
believe
it?
Man, would you stop it? Stop it. Nobody, stop it. Stop
Let's
it.
Go, Mitchell. We got hope.
Stop teasing. How much time we got left?
Are they going to go for two?
How much time we got left?
Oh, yeah. Bring them back. Bring Mitchell Trubisky back. Yeah. You must be kidding me. You must be kidding me.
Well, we're all yucking it up.
Bears win.
Jimmy Graham with a touchdown reception from Mitchell Trubisky. Bears get on the board again for the first time since the first half of action. The first touchdown of the game. Unfortunately, the game is over.
You know, when you guys talk about Pace, he was at New Orleans, and he was in charge for quite some time of the player personnel. So
no, but that's the problem. That's what Otis is trying to say, is that he was with New Orleans, and he was in their front office, but he wasn't the decision maker. Of course, he had Breeze, and of course, he had the defense, he had the running backs, he had all those guys in place. And so what the Bears felt is that if they took him from that system and implemented him in Chicago, that we would get the same results that the Saints are getting. Unfortunately, as Otis said, 37 years old is not enough experience to make a monumental impact for a franchise, i.e., that's why John Lynch for the San Francisco 49ers as a GM coaxed him into moving one spot up to take Mitchell Trubisky, because he knew the kid was wet behind the ears, and that's why we're in the position we're in right now. Is that right, Otis?
You hit it right on the head.
I disagree with the experience thing, though.
You know what I mean? You got to be around long enough. You look at guys in that position, you know, they're 50 and 60-year-old guys that have been in the football for a long time. I'm not saying he's dumb to the whole system, but he certainly, you know, can't run the show.
So I got to ask you two guys, because you guys played back in the day, and it was a different era, and now what we're seeing is a new era of sports, not only in football but across the board, analytics and the numbers. Could it have been that the Bears, the McCaskies, felt that Ryan Pace was that new era type of front office management that could implement the analytics to the game to hopes of turning the franchise around and making them not only a fast-paced track team and, you know, the funky style that's going on, and somebody brought up Sean McVay with the Rams and his style of offense and play calling. Did the Bears get caught up in the new era of football, and maybe that's why they brought in Ryan Pace?
You know what? You got a good point there.
Sometimes you just get it wrong. It ain't no reason why you got it wrong. You just got it wrong.
And because he's not old enough and not experienced enough, he just got it wrong.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Q. I'm gonna help you out here. Right. Here's the problem. Yeah, you get it wrong.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the Bears in this front office, they continuously get it wrong. Right. So when you develop a pattern like that, that's a problem.
That's called,
and Otis is saying, lack of experience. Because if you continue to make the same mistakes or multiple mistakes and not getting the results that you're looking for, it's because you haven't been there before, so you don't know. And you're throwing a dart at a dartboard that hopefully you want to get a bullseye, but unfortunately, you're just hitting the side of the wall. And that's the problem.
That's also the definition of insanity.
Them making the real, honest to God, good decisions is when Jim Finks was here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's been that long. And that's too long.
Yeah, it's too long. It's too long. Gentlemen, it's the fastest hour in sports conversation. We love it. Hey. You guys have any? First of all, I want to say, first and foremost, Bruce Herron, thank you so very much for your contributions and everything that you brought to the table this season, man, because it was insightful, it was knowledgeable, and it was on point, and it was passionate. And the compassion still came out, but it was true and real. And the fans listening to this show, whether it's on Sundays at 6 o'clock or throughout the week on Comcast or Facebook or whatever social media platform, they really enjoyed and appreciate your contributions as far as this Bear season was concerned. So on behalf of the staff here, I want to say thank you so very much for sacrificing your time on Sundays to come on the Rewind Sports 60 at WCPT 820 AM to join us with your Bear commentary, brother. Thank you so very much.
Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all.
I do want to thank you and your staff, man. I think I spend more time talking to Devin than I have you guys, but down every Sunday. But it's been great. I've enjoyed it immensely. The last couple of weeks has really been great because, you know, my buddy Otis gets in the fray and he adds a whole different level of conversation to it, and that's been fun as well. But thank you so much. I'm looking to hearing from you guys next season.
Oh, definitely. Okay. And we'll be plugging. We'll be ringing you up doing the draft and the combine and all that stuff too. So, you know, you're not getting off that easy, brother. You're not getting off that easy. And of course, hey, Otis, it's always a pleasure. Every time I get an opportunity to talk with you, man, it's just enlightening, and it's just it's an honor because it's a matter of touching greatness. And I say that in the most humblest way, man. You are true greatness, not only on the football field, your contributions to the Bears and the city of Chicago, but to the things that you do off the field and just who you are as a man. And it is truly a pleasure always to have an opportunity to talk with you. And I'm glad that you're on the phone and you're not in studio, because every time I see you in person, man, I want to run the other way, because I think you still think you can lace them up, man. But in all seriousness, brother, thank you so very much for being a part and joining us the past couple of weeks on the show, because I know there are a lot of longtime Chicago fans that love to hear from you, and we're glad that you're still doing well and you're in the Chicagoland area, brother. But I want to say thank you so very much again on the behalf of this illustrious staff here at the Rewind Sports 60.
Well, I certainly appreciate those kind words, and thank you guys and all of y'all there for, you know, putting those real words out there. And, hey, it was a good season, you know, but I think it can be better, and, you know, the Bears have to do better, and I hope they do better because I'm a Bear fan. I mean, that's just who I am. It's in the blood, and thank you guys. You guys have a great off season because I'm going somewhere to play golf. See you.
Hey. I love you. Hey, Otis. And Bruce and Q, yep. You know what? Yeah, we're going to keep y'all around for another 10 days or so, because if these crazy fools start trying to ambush someplace, I think the three of y'all could clear them all out. So just stay by the bat phone, okay?
I got folks on the west side, south side.
Let a boost on them. Let a boost on them. I'm going to send a big gun in first. That's big old. I'm
going to
send them in first.
I'll
come up and
clean up. Got to be better than the Capitol Police.
Hey, God
help us all, man.
Nobody no more.
Hey, brothers, thank you so very much again. It's a pleasure. Stay safe. stay warm and stay yourselves and stay true to yourselves and stay true to this beautiful town that we live in that we call Chicago. And, of course, as much as it hurts, try to stay true to this team. Thank you so very much, gentlemen. Have a good
one.
We'll talk to you.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Last word. We love those Bears, man.
Yeah. Go Bears!
Go Bears!
Later,
go
fellas. Bears. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the fastest hour in sports conversation. Yours truly, Jerry Riles. The moment's one, Dan Marvin.
Oh, yeah.
Quentin Demp. Before we get out of here, man, closing thoughts.
Yeah, we did. We did get a third down conversion, a pass to the famous Ryan Ridley. You heard of him? Yeah, they did convert. Yeah. And next week for the NFC, it's Rams at Packers, Buccaneers at Saints. For those of you that care,
we all care.
Okay. Bills Mafia, baby. I'm on a Bills bandwagon, man.
Oh man,
woo! Let's go. I'm pulling for the Bills.
Woo! But it's gonna be something, man. So you got the Saints and the Packers next week, right?
Saints and Bucks, Packers and Rams.
There you go. Okay. Hey, guys, thank you. It's the fastest hour in sports conversation, the Rewind Sports 60. If you miss any portion of it, you can check us out on Facebook and, of course, Twitter. We stream, brother. We stream, and we're live on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m. in the northern suburbs on Channel 17, 19, and Channel 35 on Comcast Access. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much. Be safe out there. Do the three W's. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Watch your distance. It's the Rewind Sports 60. Thanks to the illustrious producer, Devin Tingle. Take care, everybody. We love you. See you next Sunday. Yes, bye, man.